entitled The Call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And you, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Entitled, Nicodemus Visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Thank you, Jim. Let's take a walk. Let's take a walk. You know, Nicodemus was a leader and a Pharisee, and was therefore expected at this point to reject Jesus, to be one of those who would see Jesus as an enemy. And yet, Nicodemus took a walk. I think I'm hitting this with my turkey neck. So I need to either rapidly lose weight or move the microphone. I think I will move the microphone. There we go. So Nicodemus took a walk. He stepped out in the night and went to Jesus. Now, he did it in the night rather than broad daylight. So he hedged his bets a little bit. But it was no small risk for him to go see this controversial rabbi. And he did it. He took a walk. He stepped out. Abram, at this point in our story, is pretty comfortable in the land of his forefathers, hanging out, having a good time, has a pretty wife, life looks good, and God says, no, get up and go very vaguely to another land. I will show you somewhere Abraham had never been before, some things he had never seen before. And he decided to take a walk in faith with God. Let's take a walk this morning. Walk is good. I want to tell you personally that we've been cleaning out my folks' house, getting ready to sell it, and been going through the old attics, and my delightful sister found my old report cards. And it's amazing the things you forget about yourself. It's really amazing the things you forget about yourself until you see them in black and white, or in the case of the old mimeograph machines, blue and white. If either of my kids came home with report cards like I had, well, you probably wouldn't be seeing them here today. And I looked back through these old report cards, and I remember a time when one of my children, the female one, but I won't mention her by name because she hates that. I remember a time when she was in middle school and had a bad day, and her mother wasn't available. And I was sitting there with her, and she was explaining to me the problem in her calm, rational manner that you usually have. I'll stop soon. And all I could respond to, really a nasty day, was, I'm so sorry, I went through middle school once, and I'm never going back there again. Because it is hellacious. It is a hellacious time. And looking and remembering some of my personal history, which I won't share here, though you can't tell my kids anything they don't already know. Those of you in the room who've known me all these years. I could trace dips in my grades and choices I made at certain times in my life that I remember making. And dips in my grades and comments from teachers about he obviously knows the material but he's not handing in assignments and things like that. Where I can think, okay, this was when this particular struggle was happening in my life. And it was like looking at my footprints through life and seeing again, but this time to the second decimal place, the places I had been and some of the things I had done. And I'm grateful that those report cards were saved, and I'll be burning them later today. Not getting them. But that's what life is. Life is a walk. We move through our life, and this talk of Jesus to Nicodemus of being born again has been so misappropriated and misidentified. He's talking about being born of the Spirit, and you aren't, most of us, I've met a few who were, but most of us aren't born as babies really getting it and going through all of our life really getting it. There comes a time where you either go deeper or you don't. And then there comes another time where you either go deeper or you don't. And another time, and another time. And to be born again, to me, is to grasp the fact that you have one life, it is sponsored by God, and there are purposes in this life. There are things for you to accomplish. You have been given tools. And it is a marvelous thing to be drawing breath and a constructive thing to be living if you are living correctly. That to me is to be born again, to wake up and have an aha of, oh my God, I'm here for a reason, and the reason is you, and point me in the direction. And I went to this very church, and I attended Sunday school, and I was confirmed, and I remember when I was in middle school deciding I was going to read all of the New Testament and making it through three of the four Gospels, and then later the fourth one, not quite making the whole Bible or the whole New Testament, but that stuck with me. It wasn't my born-again moment, but it was an awakening that I had. It was a few steps I took on my path, and then I took steps in the other direction, and then I just walked away from it. I fell down. I stumbled, and I didn't pick myself up until my sophomore year of college when I was sitting in a party that everyone else was having fun in, and I was too messed up to have any fun at all, and I realized, this isn't me. This isn't the life I was raised to lead. This isn't the life I want to lead. And I wasn't born again. But I was back on the path. And I was walking on that path again. And at that point, I met a woman who insisted later that I go to church again. And I was smart enough to marry the girl. And we started going to church again. And I started worshiping in earnest. I started to participate in youth ministry and things like that. And I wasn't born again. But I was further along. I was still walking where God would lead. And then I was unemployed. For the first time in my life, I wanted a job and couldn't find one. And it lasted a couple of months. And I was hurting terribly on an Easter Sunday morning when they sang the Feast of the Victory for Our God in the Lutheran church we were attending, and that soprano soared up so high that she lifted me 6, 8, 10 inches off the ground. And I burst into tears. And I was born again. That moment in my life, my lowest, weakest I had been in so long, and lowest and weakest, not because I was most vulnerable, but because it was the point where I had finally found out how far my own strength would not take me. It was a desperate time. And it was that moment that I finally heard and began to follow in earnest. It was that moment that I can point to now as the moment where I finally began to open my ears to God. And it was a few years before I answered a call into ministry, but I was changed at that moment. So a reading like today's reading with Abram deciding, yeah, I'll take a walk with you, God, that had such a deep impact for me because I remember the moment when I said that to God. Yeah, I'll take a walk with you, God. I'll go somewhere vaguely out there, wherever it may end up being. I remember that so clearly and how much poorer off I ended up financially, but how much richer my life was in its entirety when I finally did that. And then I identify so clearly with the character of Nicodemus because I became born again near the capital of Southern Baptists. And I was not a good fit for most of what was around me in terms of Christianity. And so I needed to sneak out at night and go to see Jesus and say, what gives? I know something's up. What's going on? The people around me, what they're saying doesn't quite fit for me. Where do I fit in this? And Jesus talked to me too. I mean, he didn't sit down across from me in his flowing robes, but I could tell the truth that was coming to me was coming from Jesus. And I learned that yes, I was born again. And it was a powerful thing. And I continue on this road and I continue to stumble. I continue to occasionally stray. But now, I'm committed. I'm committed like that turkey on Thanksgiving Sunday. The one who's most committed in the room is that bird. And I know many of you are as committed and some more committed than I am in this journey as well. And I continue to learn new and important things. And you are some of my teachers. I had been struggling with exactly how to turn this sermon into what I really wanted to say. Because what I really want to do is scream out loud how wonderful life is in Christ. And scream out loud how incredibly deeper and richer and more wonderful it is when we realize we aren't here under our own power and let the one with the power flow through our hands and our mouths and our hearts and our eyes and our ears. And I ran across an article after that stupid dog woke me up at 3 a.m. Angel of God, I didn't think at the time. But it was this rabbi in Ode magazine. And I checked behind him because I don't trust anybody. So I read this thing and then I take out my great big concordance. And based on what he says, I look up the word Egypt in Hebrew. Now, Egyptians have their own word for Egypt, right? Well, the Hebrews had their own word for Egypt too. And I hope I remember the number. This is a concordance, for those of you who don't know. Every single word that is in the Bible is numbered and listed, and it gives the root of that word and its meaning and its background in the language that is spoken. And I believe I'm looking for 47:13. And what happens when you read this book is you get a little more insight into what's going on. Like the word for Egypt in Hebrew, Egypt is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Isn't that amazing? No, it's not amazing, but where it goes is amazing because it refers you to another one, and good God, someone hold this book over there for me. So I can... It takes you to 4693, and that word is matzar in the sense of a limit, besieged, narrowed. 4692 it's from. Narrowed, hemmed in. The word that was used for Egypt by Moses, who brought all these people out, is narrowness and being hemmed in. When Moses took the originators of the faith, that is, the originators of our faith, out of Egypt, he was expanding their horizons. They were escaping from narrowness of mind. They were escaping from being hemmed in their lives and were shown by Moses, and this is vitally important, they were shown by Moses not just how to live, but why to live that way. They were instructed that there was a God who cared about them profoundly, so deeply, and wanted them to live in a broader way with deeper appreciation. They went from hemmed in to wide open living life. And that would just be a wonderful, tender thing to think about if that was the end of the story, but it wasn't. They had to go through a living hell. They had to go through the wilderness. Many of them died for not being hemmed in anymore. Many of them longed for the day of their narrow lives to return because it was easier. Because it was easier. And I look back on my old report cards, and my life in middle school and high school was not easy. And I remember why. It was because I felt so hemmed in. I felt so limited and completely hemmed in. I was the one in chemistry class who turned away from the periodic tables to watch Jeff Broadwell on the roof of the gym. And thinking, man, I wish I was with him. I was the one who neglected his calculus homework because Wayne Barker was over and we had a real funny idea we wanted to put on tape. I don't know, Jack, how Wayne continued to get such great grades. I couldn't do it. I was hemmed in. And I got to college thinking I was free and doing things that everyone told me meant you were free. Until that day, I was sitting half out of my mind on a couch and realized you, Corey, are even more hemmed in than ever. You are still hemmed in. And then I married that beautiful woman and we went to South Carolina and I thought I was independent on my own and living my life. And I realized, Corey, you haven't started living yet. You're still hemmed in. And God has been saying for years, take a walk with me, take a walk with me. Will you please just take a walk with me? And finally I said, okay, I'll take a walk with you. And look where I ended up. Back in Bloomfield. But I hope those of you in the room who knew me way back when would say I'm not exactly the same person I was back then. And I hope I'm not nearly as hemmed in anymore. I still meet people that show me I have opening to do still. But I am open to being open to new things. I'm open to take that walk. And so, bottom line, just like Abraham, just like Nicodemus, just like Moses, take that walk with God. Wherever you are right now, listen to God and let God walk you to this new place. You might not know who God is. You might not be sure how you feel about Jesus or the term born again. You might be scared or have reservations, just like Abraham, just like Moses.
just like all of Jesus' disciples, just like Paul, just like all the saints we read about and talk about, just like your favorite faithful people that you know, just like all the rest of us. We do not know where the road leads, but it all comes down to that first step, which leads to that next step. We will be taken through wilderness. We might not make it much further. We might go places that frighten us. But let's take a walk in faith. Let's go deeper with our God, with Nicodemus, with Abraham, with your brothers and sisters. Amen.